listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk with innovators on how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Max Johnston. This story is the first segment in a two-part story on childhood hunger. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, over 15 million households in the United States suffer from food insecurity. Living in a food insecure household means that there isn't easy access to high-quality food. In fact, good food may be so hard to come by that it drives some kids and young adults to crime. Susan Popkin is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank. She says food insecure households don't have high-quality food, but they make do with what they have.
So they're buying ramen noodles or something else that's not perishable that they can keep around and is filling. It means that a lot of times the adults in the household will go hungry or skip meals so that the kids can eat.
Popkin and her team researched food insecurity in children and young adults from 10 communities across the country. One of the many things that they found is that food insecure households are often located in so-called food deserts, areas typically in cities where grocery stores are few and far between.
So instead, they might have access to a bodega or a corner store where the prices are marked way up and the food quality is poor.
Popkin says that most food insecure households qualify for some form of government assistance, but a lot of that money is used just to get them to the grocery store.
I've talked to people who had spent an hour and a half getting to the grocery store because they have to take two or three buses, or they might have to go for sort of a low-level taxi or get a friend to drive them.
Food insecurity trickles down to children and young adults, who often have a difficult decision to make. Some turn to crime to feed themselves and their families.
Kids talking about, you know, boys really getting involved with stealing or, you know, feeling like they had to get involved doing things for a gang, and for girls getting involved with, they called it dating older guys. You know, they're doing it because they don't know what else to do.
Popkin and her team at the Urban Institute found that being introduced to even small-scale crime at a young age had lasting effects on children and young adults. There are people from numerous communities that reported flunking out of school or seeing jail time. The Urban Institute wanted to tackle food insecurity early on, so they worked with a group of students near Portland, Oregon, to design an after-school food program tailored to children and young adults.
And they came up with this idea that they would like to do a harvest share for their community, and that the kids would actually run the harvest share day. They'd set it up and check everybody in and give everybody their grocery bag.
Popkin said that having programs designed by and catered to children and teenagers got them access to food and brought in more people their age to the program. A similar after-school program has been operating in Lansing for the past decade, and we'll take a look at that in part two of our series on childhood hunger. In the meantime, how do you think we should tackle food insecurity? Are after-school programs a good way to stop childhood hunger? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com or leave them in the comments below this post. Support for The Food Fix comes from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. I'm your host, Max Johnston. Thanks for listening to The Food Fix.